It's football at four. Here's The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
All right, Joe Flacco, let's talk about him. My man, Cool Joe. Smile High Joe. I got to go on his website and buy some of his t-shirts. Here we go. Flacco. Joking around.
I honestly think it's funny. I just don't think I'm 34. I forget. I think I'm 23 too. And it really does happen. Like, I'll be sitting in there and, you know, we're just shooting the breeze in the locker room and the cafeteria and whatever. And you really do forget, oh my God, like, these guys are 10 years younger than I am. At least some of them. Everybody wants to talk about age and things like that. But in this sport, it really doesn't matter that much. It's just about going out there and performing and being in an NFL locker room. You never grow up. I don't care how old you are. 34 is not really that old. I mean, I know it's old in this sport, but you don't grow up. I plan on being a kid the rest of my life. I mean, it's an awesome work atmosphere, and that's why we're the luckiest people in the world.
Yeah, 34 for human beings is, you're a kid. Like, 34-year-olds to me are still kind of in that, oh yeah, okay. You're in a kid range.
But age-wise, you'd think at 34, you'd be mature adult. But his point is that at 34 in the NFL, if you're in an NFL locker room, it's un-PC, it's childish, it's you remain an adolescent throughout your professional career, and I think he wants to prolong that as much as possible.
He likes, that's actually kind of interesting, because Peyton never struck me as that type of guy. Peyton liked to have fun, no doubt about it. But he always liked to be the ringmaster of all the practical jokes.
You know, right. The fun. He was the one handling the marionettes.
Fun came on his terms.
Right.
He'll tell you when to have fun. And he is funny. So all those things. And he's a fun guy to hang around with. Joe, to me, seems like the guy that just likes being around the guys. He's not going to be the leader that way. But he likes that atmosphere. By the way, my impressions of Flacco, seeing him for the handful of practices throughout the spring. So composed. Just a natural leader. Incredible natural talent and ability he has. I mean, it is a trip. Even after all these years of covering the NFL, it still is a trip to me to see a human being be able to take a football and throw it 60, 70 yards like with hardly any effort whatsoever. It is amazing. And he can do that. He can just do that, period. And then when it comes to just running things and executing what they're trying to do, he is 10,000 miles beyond Kevin Hogan and Drew Locke. Frankly, Drew Locke is swimming.
As expected.
But the athletic ability with Drew Locke is there. I mean, I get it. But he's got some quirky mechanics, Tom. He's got some quirky stuff with how he does things.
Yeah, but who cares? He's a pick for later.
No doubt about it.
If he's playing in 2019, we're done.
We're done if he's playing in 2019.
However,
yeah.
If Joe Flacco, now that you've seen Joe Flacco more,
he's
still on the fence about 8-8.
Yeah, because I don't trust Garrett Bowles, and I don't know anything about Juwan James. And I don't know how everything's really going to go with Philip Lindsay, and I don't know what our running back's situation is. Our tight end room?
Loaded.
Holy cow.
Oh, Cecil's in love with them.
Dude.
It's kind of ridiculous. Cecil talked about the tight ends yesterday, and I was driving home, and I was like, damn it. Are they great on air, or do we have the same problem we've always had in that during practice against our defense, the tight ends are the ones that are lighting up the defense still? Are they just making great catches on air?
No, it's a little
pat and go and things like that.
I think it's a little bit of both. I think you're right.
We're right back to where we started
A little bit, yeah. Because we did not address that. Because we went with a tight end instead of White.
I forgot to ask Cecil this. He was thinking about trading. Let's trade one of them right now. And I'm like,
why?
Why would you do that?
No,
Listen,
it is what it is. You can't get it all.
But if we're having six or five tight ends, Jake Budd is still not participating fully.
Yeah, what a shame.
Tearing up our defense.
They're not tearing it up. It's just solid. They're not.
It sounds like, Cecil, everything you throw to these guys is a catch.
No.
But everybody else is covered, which is what we've been.
Yeah.
I haven't heard much out of Courtland Sutton.
I was just thinking Courtland Sutton. There's something.
I think Tim Patrick's making a couple plays.
Tim Patrick's a freak athlete.
I haven't heard a word on Deshaun Hamilton.
Yeah, he's just a guy. I've had that conversation with a couple of smarty pants over there. Deshaun's just a guy. It is what it is. Courtland, I was surprised. I haven't seen more of a rhythm with him and Flacco. But it's early.
You'd think he'd be the easiest one to connect with because you have a big target that
you
can go up there and get the ball with a quarterback with a big arm.
And they tried during what we try to see, and it just wasn't quite there. But that's not to say it can't be there. Now, Flacco doesn't really move around a lot. I mean, we know that about Flacco, right? So this is what terrifies me about Garrett Bowles. Because I'm still seeing, even in practice with no pads. Now, granted, he's got to go against Bradley Chubb, and you know that's not the easiest thing in the world to do. But like the guy, even in practice, holds. Like his sense of timing when the play is done is not there for whatever reason. I don't understand why. Like he doesn't know when things are it's done, dude. It's like, oh, I screwed up. Now I got to make up for it. Now I'm gonna hold you. Now, I don't know. I don't understand.
Yeah, but if it's just Garrett Bowles and Ron Leary is back practicing and he's healthy and Connor McGovern can make that transition.
Yeah, but then you got Juwan James. We'll see. I hope
so. First of all, he just came back from an injury. He didn't practice last week.
All right.
They gave him $50-something million dollars. That's way more than Watson or Stevenson or Valdir. They've made a commitment, a big-time commitment, to the right tackle. So I that cannot be a concern.
If
our one concern isn't the rookie draft pick, but our left tackle, you can figure out ways.
Okay, and I'll possibly write it off that he's going against Von Miller, and that's not easy, obviously.
For Juwan James.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. Because
nobody can block Von Miller one-on-one.
All right. So
it's impossible.
So we don't know. But we know that Juwan James has the same impact trying to block Von Miller as everybody else. Almost.
Yeah, but Von's on our team. We don't have to worry about him in the game.
We got
Khalil Mack in week two.
Yeah.
And there's not many other premium rushers from that side of the field.
By the way, Flacco on throwing the ball far.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile. I'm dead serious.
That's what I'm talking about.
How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountains?
Wait, I'm sorry. Oh, here it is.
On like a Hail Mary?
Yeah.
I mean, if we're on the opposite 30-yard line, I would think I could pretty comfortably get it in the end zone, but I have no idea. I hope so. I might try to overthrow it and throw a duck, and it might only get to the 20. I don't know.
Yeah. Coach would have put me in fourth quarter. We'd have been champions. No doubt. No doubt in my mind. You better believe things have been different.
Peyton Manning can't stop. Peyton Manning cannot help himself. I'll let you know, nobody said this yesterday, I'm sure. Archie was nice to be dragged to practice yesterday. Details coming up next.
Now back to The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
I'll let that run a little bit, Richie. Look at this beautiful day, come on. How great is it? Colorado! Trying to tell my kid about the band Boston. Tom Schultz was an engineer from MIT and
made all the music himself.
He could, but even beyond just creating the music, he created the electronic and engineered the devices for the music engineering part of things, which made him a way cut above. But some of the before computers and Pro Tools just ruined the music industry, which is ruined right now. was back when you actually had to play instruments to record a song. Tom Scholz was like as precise as anybody. I don't know if you like the band Boston or not, but
it's all right.
Yeah, it's okay. Don't appreciate precision and expertise. Cool stuff.
Nope. Give me Guns N' Roses.
And a nerd band. Yeah, Guns N' Roses is about as sloppy as you get.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching another thing about Guns N' Roses. Their records, like, if you, like, looked at them, they're actually kind of... They're great hooks, but they're, like, some of the worst, like, played. Because they were all on tremendous amounts of drugs while they're recording those records.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
No idea.
Axl kept them going, though, man, throughout all these years. He never stopped. He never stopped Guns N' Roses, ever. Even though him and Slash didn't talk for like 18 years. Guns N' Roses has never stopped being Guns N' Roses.
I think they've made their top 10 all-time money made.
They've got to be. They've never stopped. I love those guys, too. I love all those guys. All right, here's Ron Leary. About being a right guard.
Nah, I love right guard. I think y'all might have said that I wanted to go back to my natural spot, left guard, more than me. I wanted to stay a right guard last year, and I had made that known to the coaches, but they decided to move me back to left. But I'm glad to be at right. You know, I feel a lot more comfortable at right. I had a great season at right my first year here. So, you know, I'm excited to be at right. Everything's good.
All right. Well, that's cool.
He has to say that. He's probably... He hasn't taken a lot of reps, and he saw that Dalton Risner is now settled in at left guard, his natural position, so he has to... I'm happy at right guard.
We were seeing some kind of quirky offensive line formations, but at the end of the day, in the mini camp, that's where it's the come-to-Jesus moment.
Yeah, this is you got your five guys all healthy.
Yeah.
With Juwan James with the hip, Ron Leary with the Achilles and the knee and the back.
Yeah.
And Connor McGovern at center. Dalton Risner at left guard and
yep.
Garrett Bowles at left tackle.
That's it.
On paper, if you look at Garrett Bowles as a first round, on paper, with a high priced right tackle, you paid a lot of money for Ron Leary. It looks like a pretty damn good offensive line.
It does, doesn't it? The only just.
The paper the, part of it is the problem.
The little part is. And if McGovern is fine at center, okay.
Cecil has some concerns about his shotgun snaps.
I just want to say there was an opportunity in the second round to improve on that, too. It existed.
Look, I think, like, inside linebacker, if you didn't have Bradbury on your board, you weren't looking at centers at all. If you were okay with trading back from 10 when you had Devin Bush, and then in the second round, the third round, the fifth round... The sixth round, you didn't take an inside linebacker. You're feeling pretty confident about what you have.
All right, we can dig into it deeper. Peyton Manning, out of practice again. I told you he likes to bring human props for excuses to go to practice. I saw him with his kids last year, and he explained to somebody that like his kids wanted to go to practice. All I saw them was like jumping up and down and dad like he was a tree.
And they want to go see Demarius?
I think they did actually want to see Demarius. That takes about 5 minutes, maybe not even, and then you're there for another 2.5 hours. But yeah, they actually really do have a special relationship with Demarius. That is true. But Peyton brought Archie out there. I thought that was clever. Archie.
Clever.
My dad is dying to see practice. Dad, aren't you dying to see? Yeah, sure, I'd love to go see practice. All right, I'll go with you, Peyton, if you want me to. You think Archie Manning cares about going to see the Denver Broncos practice?
Probably not the Denver Broncos, but he got a chance to sit there. Maybe he's out here seeing his grandkids and Peyton.
I'm sure he is.
Maybe he said, do you want to go to practice? And Archie's probably like, well, you know, I could talk to Elway.
So you think it started with Archie?
I don't know how it started.
You know, it could be this.
Man, you're such a...
It could be this. It could be this.
Conspiracy theorist to the nth degree, man.
It could be this.
Props?
All right.
Peyton Manning doesn't need props.
What do you mean props?
He doesn't need
human props.
Bring his children or his dad to practice.
He can't keep going out there by himself, dude. He did that once already. There's only so many bullets in that chamber. Or you're creepy. Oh, Peyton's here again by himself.
He used to go to Kent Denver football games because he lives a mile away.
Yeah.
And just stand there and watch football.
Yeah, that's a game.
By himself.
That's a game. Did he really? Seriously?
Yes.
That's a little unusual. The guy loves football.
That's my point. Yeah, maybe his dad wanted to go. Maybe he didn't. I don't think he used him as an excuse.
I think.
Does he need more attention? Is that. You think he's lacking in attention, so he needs to bring along Archie or his children?
You're right about the visiting the grandkids. Because there's only so much time a 70-year-old dude can hang out with 8-year-old kids. That is true. I'm sure you
get the hell out of the house.
Right.
I can't take him anymore.
And he's got a big house, so I'm sure Archie isn't staying at the Inverness. I'm sure he's actually staying at Peyton's house. And when your parents visit, this is true, too. You become Julie from the Love Boat.
You need an itinerary.
Yes. You got to
keep them busy.
But
grandkids aren't enough.
But not too busy. Because they pass out. They get tired. So you got to figure like Tommy, we're talking one, maybe two activities a day. That is, you know what? I'll give you that. Like Peyton's no different than any of us who have his parents visiting.
I don't think Archie had, maybe he just used Archie as an excuse to watch practice. Because I think Peyton is interested in watching football. Again, he's at random high school
games. I think Peyton would be at the Broncos. I think he not necessarily the Broncos, but I think if he could be at a football practice every single day, he'd be at a football practice every single day.
I think he used his dad as an excuse to get there.
I do too. Like,
and his dad probably had no interest in watching practice, probably wanted to talk to Elway.
But he probably goes, Dad, what do you say? We go down and see the Broncos practice for a couple hours. Gets him out of the house, little father-son thing. Kind of checks a lot of boxes. Archie doesn't have to play with Marshall and Mosley for a couple hours. It's all good. The women can just sort of, you know, be on their own a little bit. When family visits, we're not meant to, like, live with our parents again on visits. We move out when we're 18, and just having a good dinner should be enough. But sometimes when they visit and they stay at your house, whether it's a big house or a small house, it's like,
but they're not there to visit you. They're there to spend some time with the grandkids.
That's so overrated. That is such a fallacy. I don't think the grandparents really do want to spend that much time with the grandkids.
I think they want to see them from time to time.
Yeah, time to time.
Just check in.
Yeah.
Grandpa's still here.
Right, still breathing.
I'm the one sending you those birthday cards. By the way, I'd like a handwritten note, thank you note.
I think Peyton's dying to get back in somehow. And I wish there was a way for him to get back in with the Broncos. But at the down the end of the road, the only path I see is actually a confrontational situation in terms of him and Elway. I'm glad they're friends. That's awesome that they're friendly enough.
A confrontational.
Yeah, this is like 3 years down the line.
They're going to have a confrontation.
They're probably both going to want similar things. And the Broncos may have an availability to offer those things. Whether it's ownership portion, a managerial sort of position, something.
Where's the confrontation at?
Well, they're both. Can you see the two of them working together?
Yes.
Really? We got to take a timeout. That amazes me. Can you lay that out next?
Simple.
All right, we'll get to it next.
It's The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
All right, I cannot wait to hear it. What scenario do you have Peyton Manning and John Elway working together? Yeah, lay it out for me.
Most scenarios. The only one that I could see not working would be if Peyton were to replace someone like Joe Ellis. So immediately above John Elway, but with no money in the game.
Listen,
if Peyton
you
was
told
a part-
me there was a way to do it. I don't think there is. What is it? Be specific. It's not. What is it?
If Elway is Joe Ellis and Peyton Manning is John Elway.
Do you think John Elway wants to be the business side of the Broncos?
It's the de facto owner side of the Broncos. As long as this trust is in place, why you roll your eyes? You gave me you told me to give you an example.
So John Elway is Joe Ellis, which is absurd, and Peyton Manning is who?
John Elway.
Tom, I can't even take you seriously as much as I love you.
You're saying that would not work?
Of course it wouldn't work.
Well, what other scenarios are there?
It's, None, where they work together.
It's the Joe Ellis role right now. Or it's an ownership. If
I'll tell you where it could work.
If Peyton were to get an ownership stake of the Broncos, you think John Elway's going to be pissed about that or vice versa? If John Elway was a part of the ownership group and Peyton Manning was...
John Elway's not going to work for Peyton Manning. Are you nuts?
He's working for Joe Ellis.
Isn't he? I'm not sure there's a whole lot of people John Elway's checking in with these days. And by the way, I say that and people say, oh, you hate John Elway. This first half of the year has been actually terrific. Because this is what today, it was field day today. They canceled practice. People think, oh, we had three practices. They were really important. Stop. They've been going after this since January, since Vic Fangio has been hired. And even though the players are kind of, you know, different, this has been a grind already. So it's not just a day off for the players. It's a day off for these. It's a way to go, everybody. You know, it's a good first half of the year. There's no way. Here's what would be great if it could work is.
Tell me the structure in place and I'll tell
First of all, I don't think it can work.
Do they respect each other?
I think so. Yeah, for sure.
Then how could it not? Wouldn't you love to work for someone that you respect?
Right. Then why isn't Peyton here doing something on a regular basis?
I think he's still trying to figure things out.
Why hasn't John Elway gone to Peyton Manning and said, Peyton, what do you want to do?
I don't think Peyton wants to coach.
Okay. Again, listen to what I'm saying.
So where else is, what other spot is there?
What does he want to do? He could do anything.
Wait, a special advisor. You mean like
special advisor?
Fire Matt Russell and have him handle the pro personnel department?
No.
Special advisor? What is that?
I don't know.
I think what Peyton wants to do is something meaningful.
Marvin Lewis is a special advisor to Herm Edwards at ASU right now.
I think Peyton, but the difference is I think Peyton wants to do something meaningful.
Can I tell you what?
He's had plenty of opportunities to do cool things.
Can I tell you what he would really be valuable doing? Right now, first of all, Peyton could do anything. This is going to sound funny. It'd be great if he was not a quarterback coach, but the ultimate quarterback mentor. If he was just working with the quarterbacks.
Like Cutcliffe.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
We have a quarterback coach.
I know. I didn't say coach. I don't know what else to use besides mentor. And I, you know, so if there's another word, fine.
No.
No, that's not going to work.
Peyton Manning was not a mentor to any quarterback. Why would he be a good mentor now?
Because he thinks about it nonstop. He would be great at it. No, he would be great at it now. He wasn't a great mentor because he was focused on himself. Well, he doesn't have to worry about that now. No, he'd be outstanding.
We don't know that because he's never done it.
He's done it in certain areas.
He has not done it.
He's had camps. He on Snapchat.
I think he's interested in doing whatever he wants to do right now. He's got his Peyton Places thing going on. He turned down Monday Night Football. I think there was some validity to the GM job with the Jets, despite what you hear. I think Adam Gase probably reached out to him. But it's going to be something that works for him and his family.
Yeah.
I just can't envision John Elway not being able to work with someone of Peyton Manning's mind, a guy that he respects. As long as we're under the premise that they respect each other, why would there ever be a problem?
You know what? Fine. If they could figure that out, and I don't know what the roles would be. I hear what you're saying.
There's only a few roles. There's GM, there's Joe Ellis, and there's ownership.
You can create things however they make sense for you. You can structure
a special counsel.
Whatever you want to call it.
No, thank you.
Stay away from labels.
It's going to be a meaty, it's going to have some meaning behind it.
Well, why wouldn't John, a special advisor,
you're advising John Elway.
Oh my God, you're killing me. Why wouldn't John just go to Peyton? What would you like to do?
Maybe he has. And Peyton said, I'd like to be your boss. I'd like to own the team. And how is John Elway can't help with that?
And that's why I said they never work together.
Bam! What are you talking about?
That was my whole point. They're not.
If he goes up to John Elway and says, hey, I'd like to own a part of the team, and John Elway can go, okay, let's do that for you. No, I think John Elway wants to own part of the team.
Right. Which is why I said there's no way they could ever work together.
Can they not coexist?
And you said they could.
Can they not be?
You're doing it right now.
Can they not go in together and pool their money together and pull a couple people around the region here?
Now that's interesting. That's
George Solich, I think, would love to be involved with that group.
That's interesting. Now that's compelling. Because they definitely have respect for each other. They're definitely friends. There's no doubt about it. You can tell. That's really interesting. Could you see a situation where Peyton and John were both in ownership together? Or
it's
part
like
of an
Wonder
ownership
Twins.
Group?
Activate. Form of co-owners.
Yeah, because neither of them is rich enough to buy the team.
No,
on
and
their
they'd
own.
Still need to bring other people in as well.
Could they be part of an ownership group together? Poof! That sounds pretty cool to me.
You said they could never work together.
That would be amazing. I got to think about that one. Like what? They probably couldn't. That's a compelling idea, though.
There's not many positions that they could. You said, how could they work together? There's GM, there's Joe Ellis, and there's ownership. That's basically it. Special counsel.
Right.
Special advisor.
Calm down with your snarly looks.
Hey, John, John, I got an idea. Okay, Peyton. What is it this time?
Right. It wouldn't work, would it?
It's just an advisor, you know.
I've got 7%. You got 5%.
Oh, no. Those percentages have to be...
You know...
Split it between 7 and 18. Whatever
let's
those,
face it.
They're two numbers.
Here's what probably the truth
12%
is.
12% each. Something like that.
John's probably talking to his crew. And Peyton's probably talking to his crew. And those two crews are different.
I think John and Peyton probably talk about their crews. And who do they want to come along with them?
Not together, I don't think. Yeah.
To present this proposal to Brittany.
Well, it wouldn't necessarily be to Brittany.
Well, to Joe and...
That's right.
The triunal.
That's right. That's right.
The godhead that runs the Broncos.
They could... The three-person trust. Rich Slifka, Mary Kelly, Joe Ellis, they could absolutely 100% say we've tried to develop the right... adult Boland child, just didn't really pan out. We think the best option is to sell the team. They are well within their rights to do that. It's been
those are their rights.
Those
is
are
to
their
either
rights.
Either develop or sell to
yep.
whomever.
Yep. The only sticking point, you got to keep this in mind, and that's why I'm very, very interested to see if Peyton does take a job with an NFL team. You can't be an NFL employee of any kind and be part of an ownership group. I don't know why, but you can't.
So you mean from John's perspective, he would have to step down as
yes.
the GM?
Yes, which is why there's part of me that thinks if they have...
In 3 years, this could be a done deal. Maybe that's why Peyton knew about... knows. I didn't know this was a rule.
That's right.
But maybe that's why he never took the Jets job or never entertained it.
Correct. Correct. It's a big rule nobody talks about very much, but it's why, to me, if Elway can succeed, there may be a little bit of a push for him to step down before his contract even expires. If he really thinks this may be an opportunity to buy the team, I think the next 3 years here is unbelievable in terms of where this team is going. Because if it does go to Brittany and stays with the Boland family, it could stay there for the next 100 years. She is very young. And there's other younger members of the family that will grow and get older, grandkids and such as. I mean, so the Boland family with Brittany could own the team 100 years.
Oh, and Brittany's in failing health. We're going to be back to the same.
Or
which kid gets it?
Yeah, that'd be a long time from now. Or would it be better off it was a billionaire and Peyton or a billionaire and Elway?
For a billionaire and Peyton and Elway. It's sexy is what it is.
Dude, this is where it gets really interesting. And don't forget, there's a lawsuit coming down the pike that you're going to start hearing about more this month where Beth Boland is, she's not giving up. Now it's going to be the season. The practicing is done, but the meaty stuff with the Broncos for their future, that's just getting going. This is The Drive on The Fan.
You're listening to The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
Oh, man, what a beautiful day. Rocky's got a big win. Go through that in a little bit. So you didn't know that little rule, did you? The NFL rule.
No.
Because everybody, because Jerry Jones is the GM. Daniel Snyder is I'm not sure if he's a GM, but I guess it's after you buy the team, you can do whatever you want.
Of course. You buy the car, you can paint it purple. Who's going to tell you no? The unique thing about the NFL is they insist on single ownership. And they want a person to be in charge of
outside of Green Bay.
Yeah, but even in Green Bay, there's like a guy who speaks.
They have Joe Ellis. It's like Joe Ellis there.
That's right. That's right. It is unique.
Well, you're going to have a majority owner, and I doubt it would be either Peyton or John.
My point is the NFL doesn't want corporations to own NFL teams. They want it to be a guy. So, or a woman, you know, a person. So that's why there's so many families involved with the NFL. It just gets handed down. That's why you see that so much. That's why those that do own, like Khan, for example, in Jacksonville, are just crazy billionaires that are new, relatively new to the league. Or Paul Allen, who just passed away, but crazy single rich billionaires rather than some sort of corporate structure. Like Apple can't buy an NFL team.
So most of these teams don't even have minority owners. They're just one owner. That's it.
Yep. Or there's ownership shares. You know, you can have shares, but there's only one controlling owner.
Oh, all right. 51%.
That's right. And when John was offered, I think, 10% back in the day, Pat Bowlen tried to slip that past Edgar Kaiser. Kaiser, you know, only owned the team for 3 years, and then Pat Bowlen bought it. But Kaiser was smart. He said, well, maybe this NFL thing's going to take off. And so we'll put this together, but when you start selling off the team, I want to be first right of refusal. So before you sell to anybody, you got to offer it to me first. And Pat tried to get away with one. In fact, when they took it to the lawsuit, Kaiser was trying to get Pat Bowlen out as the owner. And he failed in that judgment, but he succeeded in stopping Elway from being offered 10% of the team. This is back in like 2004, something like that. So Elway, theoretically, because Elway was not working for the Broncos at the time, no problem. You know, you can do that. Pat tried to get away with one. And it didn't happen. But you can make the argument, Tommy, if John Elway owned 10% in 2003, 2004, 15 years later, how much could he own now? I mean, Pat Bowlen's brother, John Bowlen, wants to sell. Pat Bowlen's mom sold her portions. Pat Bowlen's sister sold her portions. You know, Pat didn't buy the team by himself. He needed a lot of help from his family to do it. He wasn't just that kind of rich when he bought the team. It took a village on that one. So where it goes, Tommy, I don't know. But it's pretty interesting. Pat Bowlen's the fourth owner of the Broncos. Would they be better off if it stays in the Bowlen family or a billionaire bought it with John Elway or a billionaire bought it with Peyton Manning?
What does it matter? It doesn't matter in the
end. Just asking your opinion.
I would like to see either it stay within the Bowlen family.
Why? Why does that matter?
Because it's just the history of the team. You may say there are three previous owners, but is Phipps and Kaiser and some other dude, but people equate the Denver Broncos to the Bowlen name. Either that or a group that involves John Elway and or Peyton Manning because John Elway's name is equated to the Broncos more than the Bolin name.
Fine. Which would you like better? Can't have all three. And if you go with staying in the Bolin family.
But you're saying that Elway or Peyton, they don't have the money to be the majority owner anyways.
No, of course not.
So they're not going to be the owner.
They're not billionaires, Elway and Manning.
The logical one would be to keep it in the Bolin family.
Well, why isn't the option to find a billionaire out there who's incredibly good at business and your football guy is John Elway or Peyton Manning? So George Solich, right? You said Solich.
At least he's
there.
Well, he's local.
Yeah.
So you mentioned billionaire, and I don't think Colorado is a hotbed of billionaires that want to own a football team.
Yeah,
I just assume that when you say
billionaires want to be in the club, you know. So owning an NFL team, it's not hard to be an owner. It's hard getting to be an owner.
No, I just going back to you just threw out billionaire owner, and I thought, well, maybe then in 10 years they want to move the team.
No, Whereas, they would never do that.
No. Of course they would. What?
They would never sell to somebody like that. It would never happen.
What, are they going to make a pinky promise and say you'll never move the team?
They could put it in a contract, sure.
They won't do that.
They could.
Has any NFL team, any owner that would willing to plunk down a couple $1 billion be that restricted in the paperwork they're signing?
Probably not.
Did Khan down in Jacksonville sign something that he couldn't move the team to London?
I just wouldn't be nervous about moving one of the greatest NFL franchises out of a area that supports them relentlessly. There would be
want a new stadium, they can use that leverage.
Well, that's true. And that may happen, but that'll be a big lie. But whatever, we'll probably fall for it as a community. And
it happened before.
Right. We're a bunch of stupid morons. We see a bunch of commercials on. Oh, my God, we're going to lose the Broncos. And we all freak out. We're dumb. Oh, my God, the Browns moved. We'll vote for a freaking whatever tax. Maybe it'll be a magic mushroom tax.
I just don't want the face of the franchise. If the Elway or Peyton, whoever ownership group, it's not going to be them.
Here's why.
They're a minority owner who would have, you wouldn't be at owners, well, maybe they'd be at owners meetings.
Sure. Yes, they would be.
But you're not going to be the face of the franchise like owners in the NFL are. It would be whoever that other guy is that brought in all the money.
I just think.
The real money.
I think it's the next move for Peyton and John at the same time. The difference, obviously, is Peyton's so much younger than John. But for John, it does make sense that he's in his early 60s. And in the next 2 or 3 years, if he makes that leap, boy, he's done the full circle. He's done every loop you can do. And for a motivated, competitive guy like John Elway, I can see where that makes sense. I don't think it's a coincidence he's hanging out with Richard Branson on Necker Island in last January. That's a billionaire. Richard Branson, that's a guy who could do it.
Sir Richard Branson.
Sorry, don't mean to insult. You know, a guy who owns his own airline in islands, you know, that's a guy who could buy a football team.
And move him to London.
Yeah, maybe. Don't know why he would, but maybe. I think Shad Khan in Jacksonville, if there's a team that's going to move to London, it's Shad Khan and the Jacksonville Jaguars, but whatever.
Yeah, a British owner wouldn't want to move the team to London if he bought a team, if Branson bought a team.
It's a good argument.
That's what I'm saying. You mentioned George Solich.
All right, so he's out. He's George Solich.
I need a local yokel billionaire.
All right, so who's buddies with the funny thing is that I think Peyton.
They all go to the same club.
That's right.
These guys all know each other.
That's right. It's Game of Thrones, baby, on the biggest level.
Drive down University in Hamden. You'll find them.
Yep. Kids, they all go to the same Little League games. Their kids go to the same schools. You run in that circle a little bit.
Mm.
No, you do. You can't say.
I'm across the tracks from
you. Yeah, you send three kids to Kent. You still do. You're in the circle.
That's a diverse school, okay?
For
economically
what?
And everything.
Not everybody extremely, is a multimillionaire.
Extremely right. diverse.
Yeah. What's the most diverse thing about the Kent?
The parking lot, which foreign car are the kids driving today? That's the diversity. Not a lot of 80s Ford pickups in that parking lot.
How would my Toyota Yaris with missing a hubcap go over?
Oh, you'd be the laughing stock of the parking lot.
Our Game of Thrones. I know the real Game of Thrones sucked at the end. But this Game of Thrones, baby, it's just getting going. KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Longmont, Denver.
This is popped up right field. Battling the sun is Dahl. Rogers trying to help out. Rogers grabs it. Ball game over. The Rockies win it. 3-1. And everybody, the Lambert family can breathe a sigh of relief. Oberg, the save, a non-drama save, and the 22-year-old with a gorgeous performance. One Rockies fans will not soon forget. Up there with the Jennings outing, the Freeland outing.
Danny Green, head fake, three-pointer is good. Leonard for three, knocks it down. Leonard trying to get the ball, Curry's on him. Here comes the double team. Leonard trying to split, almost travel. Van Vliet throws it up. Oh, he puts it in! A rainbow from Van Vliet. Ball knocked loose, and Leonard able to save it. Danny Green for three.
Like a Hail Mary.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're on the opposite 30-yard line, I would think I could pretty comfortably get in the end zone, but I have no idea. I hope so. I might try to overthrow it and throw a duck, and it might only get to the 20. I don't know.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile. I'm dead serious.
That's what I'm talking about.
How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountains?
Here we go, 5 o'clock, and this beautiful, wow, man. It seems like the clouds are always kind of getting away. Just spectacular summer-like afternoon here in Denver. Appreciate you listening. Let's get through some of this stuff, Tommy. What do we see out of the Rockies today from Mr. Lambert, 22-year-old making his debut?
Fantastic debut. Threw strikes. Kept the Cubs off balance. I thought maybe third time through the lineup might be a little dangerous because maybe they didn't know him the first couple at-bats, but he made it through seven, for the most part, clean innings. Gave up one earned. Four hits. Desi's hitting.
Desi's hitting.
Oh, I'm trying to stay on Lambert, though. I don't want to overstate his start. I mean, it would be easy to say this guy's going to be fantastic. Why didn't we bring him up sooner?
How about this? Today was great.
This is fantastic. You could not ask for to get seven innings out of a guy that's never pitched in the big leagues before.
There was a quirky situation because, of course, we have the stupidest rule ever, the non-designated hitter rule. And Lambert was dealing, but the Rockies only had a one-run lead. Well, they were able to push another run across.
Thanks
in
to Chris
the
Bryant's,
top in the top of the seventh,
his boo-boo in right field.
Yeah.
Chris Bryant lost the Reynolds, turned into a double. It should have been a routine fly ball.
Thank God for Reynolds, who I think was 0-16.
He was in a slump there.
But that's a nice little break,
right? So they got that. They pushed that run across, made it 3-1. So Lambert was able to bat in the top of the seventh.
Top of the seventh. That's right.
Right. So we could continue on.
Which was fantastic. Comes on, strikes out the side. Bottom of the seventh. And then there were some dicey moments with Diaz in the bottom of the eighth, but they got through it. Hang on with Oberg. Way to go. Great win. Not a disappointing loss last night, just like a frustrating game because they got so close in coming back that you would have loved to see them get it done?
I thought it was a little bit frustrating because Marquez has been your best pitcher.
Yeah, it just wasn't his night.
It was for 4 2/3 and back-to-back singles. Then Bodie gets the home run. Then the top of the sixth starts and just, you know, the wheels fall off and Russin comes in and gives up the, after Marquez had already let in two runs, gives up the three-run double to Bodie. So, yes, it was great that they came back and actually had a chance to win it or at least tie it up in the top in the ninth. But
so you're saying disappointing because what, you count on Marquez to win every time?
Because you're number one guy.
Time?
Well, with Freeland down, he's basically the one consistent hope in your lineup. It's not John Gray. It's not Sensatella. It's Marquez now. So you'd hope you'd get six innings out of him.
Yeah.
A six-inning quality start is what I expect out of your number one guy. Win or lose.
That's why I said it wasn't his night. It wasn't like...
It was 4 2/3. Dude. He was pretty damn good.
Okay. It's either your night or it's not your night.
It was his night, then it wasn't his night. It was both.
It wasn't both. It just wasn't his night.
For 4 2/3, he was even.
All right. You're dicing things up in a strange way.
It's all right.
The movie was great until the ending, which was terrible.
That's just baseball.
So it's just
That's just baseball.
It was kind of a great movie. I like where the Rockies are at. I know they're 1-2 on the road, but if you want to look at it more holistically, they're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. They are 9-2 in their last 11 games. We'll take that. Go on the road against the Mets.
It was a great win that that you come off feeling great, 9-1 homestand, and if they were to get swept going into New York, it'd just be a downer for them.
Yeah, agreed.
It's almost like the Broncos today with their ice cream day off. It's just a little pick me up going away.
It's a great pick me up.
Great pick me up.
All right, let's talk about field day. Is Marilat still here? He left?
Oh, it's, okay. He hears that whistle. He's out.
Okay.
Hey, he never showed up, did he? At 3:15?
Yeah, he got out of here early. I'm not sure what
happened. I want to hear him explain himself.
We get here, and everybody was so happy to see me, which I feel so...
You got that impression?
No. Mm. And somebody reached out to me on Twitter and was like, D-Mac's going to crap all over the field day. Like, I am Captain Sunshine. I'm a warm and fuzzy, happy human being. People scream, hey, D-Mac, at me all the time. I always give them a fist bump. What's up? How you doing? Just dropped my kid at the airport today, and a guy gave me a... He's on with a team to Oklahoma for 9 days. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, he's a good player.
It'd be nice. You hanging around Cherry Hills?
It's the cheapest baseball trip we've ever... He's living with a host family, and we're hardly paying for this trip. But it's incredible, the bargain on this one. Alan Dyer, Colorado Junior Sun Belt team. I cannot believe the deal we're getting on this. It's awesome, and the team is loaded.
Money.
No. They're going to McAllister, Oklahoma, in the middle of nowhere. He's gonna live in a barn or something.
A Ritz there? Is there a Ritz?
In McAllister, Oklahoma? Drive 90 minutes.
I couldn't find that on a map.
Well, drive 90 minutes south of Tulsa and woohoo! Teams from all over the country. There's 10 states participating.
So anyways, I'm getting you off track.
You are getting me off. I'm at the airport. A guy yells, hey, D-Mac, to me as I'm walking by a Southwest line. I go, where are you going?
D-Mac!
Right? No, not with the one-finger salute.
This is two-finger.
I'm giving him the fist bump. I go, where are you going? I'm going to Steamboat. I go, have fun. I'm thinking to myself.
Flying to Steamboat?
That's what I thought, but I just walked on. Why would you fly to Steamboat on Southwest? Is that even possible?
Is it direct?
No,
stop in the Springs first.
Stop at Kremling. Reload. Have you ever driven a steamboat through Kremling?
Yes.
Yeah. I bet there's crazy ass stories about people that live in and around Kremling.
From the people stopping there, forget from about no, no, the no, people
no,
stopping
no,
there.
No, people that live there. You just drive by Kremling. You want to live in Kremling, I think your things are sideways in your brain. I'm just saying, if there's a militia that's based out of Kremling, it would not surprise me whatsoever.
Kremlin's, maybe they just want to be away from society.
Oh, no doubt about it.
Doesn't mean there's anything wrong. They're probably right in the brain to live there.
Why do you think I'm judging? Anyways, I find out about the Broncos field day. I think this is fantastic. This is fun. What, you said Shanahan used to do this all the time?
Yeah. Bowling. We used to do a fish. During training camp, we used to do a fishing derby. But it's just a good way to kind of relax, throw the guys a bone.
We come in here, Marilat's already, smoke is coming out of his ears about.
I think they'd like to see the players get to see their coaches in a different light. This is the first time they've seen their coaches not coaching them.
Yeah.
For Dalton Reisner, he hadn't seen Munchak do anything other than coach him.
It was, in my opinion, fantastic.
I don't know the why. The text line was pretty split when we were talking about it earlier. They're missing out on a practice, but they're gaining a week of practice because of the Hall of Fame game. They gained some extra. That mini camp in April, I think, was due to the fact that Vic Fangio is a new coach.
Right.
So they've had and will have extra practices than any other.
That's right.
They'll have more practices than any other NFL team.
Correct.
Because they play Atlanta in the Hall of Fame Bowl, but they don't have a new coach. So, yeah, they missed out on a practice. They got through the entire offseason unscathed with injuries, except for Nico Fala. But outside of that, it's been nothing but good news. I, for one, I think it's fantastic. I like the events they had, the dunk tank with Elway in it. I mean, that line must have been 80 players long. Coaches were probably in it. Home run derby.
Hopefully a quarterback talked to Devontae Booker. Perhaps a quarterback.
No, Flacco does talk to him.
Well, I'm just saying, hopefully that continues. Because we know how insulted Devontae Booker was by nobody talking to him last year. Oh, Richie, who hated field day?
Zach and Orlando were both not big fans of it.
Based on
why?
Did they have reasoning behind it, or they were just trying to be? How, did you listen? What was their? What was the point? Their main point.
All right. Oh, okay. I love to hear.
Orlando did not like it.
Richie's cutting it up. Why? I love to hear why some of
Orlando Franklin, who is not far removed from playing. He's against a day off.
We'll hear it in a second. Can't wait to hear it, Richie. All right.
You notice no one called when I asked for someone that's upset that the Broncos had field day instead of
upset?
In lieu of practice.
I'll put it out there again. Are you upset they had field day in lieu of practice? 303-713-1043.
6-10 last year. We can't afford to miss any days of work. Again, they're getting more days of work than any other team in the NFL.
Drew Lock did miss a day of development today. Yeah. But he won the pitching contest. Apparently, from what I heard, too, he was sick when it came to the basketball contest. But he was like a legit, you know, basketball player in high school. Like, could have played D1 basketball. He's a tall cup of tea, that Drew Lock. He looks like a basketball player. Try to figure out Kevin Hogan. I'm not exactly sure what Kevin Hogan looks like. I was the biggest fan of him when he was at Stanford. Now I look at him and I'm just like, eh. Okay. He should be great. Like, I can't put my finger on why he's not better than he is.
Is he built like a Brady Quinn, where you think he's got all the mechanics, he's got the body, he's got the height?
Kind of, yeah.
What's missing there?
I know. I could never figure it out about Brady. Such a good dude, too. Just couldn't play quarterback in the NFL. Couldn't explain it.
Nick Ferguson on the text line said he was against it, too.
Nick is against it.
What the hell's wrong with these former players?
Wow.
To get a day off?
Wow.
I do not understand that.
Well, not me and Cap. We're both Captain Sunshine here. Broncos, are you listening to us? We thought it was great.
I can guarantee you there's not one player in the 90-man roster that was upset about today's announcement that it was field day. All football activities have been canceled.
Yeah, good. By the way, they did have football activities. They went through their morning meetings. They went through their regular routine leading up to the practice itself, and then the practice was canceled for field day.
That's where the beauty is. That's where the excitement lies. Finding out about that. What's wrong with these guys?
I don't know.
Orlando, a lineman? What does he want to take more pass pro?
Got to work on that drop. Again. All right, Richie's just trying to do like 10,000 things at the same time. Do you have Orlando? And yeah, you got it? All right, here's some of our negative nabobs. Of negativity here on this radio station from earlier today, I guess.
I absolutely hate it. I hate it. When you take days off, when you get to go home, that's a reward. How do you reward a team for the last 3 years that has not made a playoff appearance? Can't do it. What kind of perception as well are you giving these rookies that are coming in? I just got drafted to a team that just went 6-10. We got a new head coach and we get the day off? Now that's what they're going to expect. When I was a player in this league, man, I don't ever remember ever getting the last day completely off.
No. Poor Franklin. Poor Orlando.
By the way, have you heard some of his San Diego stories?
Mm-mm.
Oh my God. What a crappy organization. They just did not do things the right way. And Orlando was here with, I got to think about
it. I can't believe Foxy didn't pull one of these when Orlando was here.
Foxy.
That seems right up Foxy's
no,
alley.
No, he really wasn't like that.
But the what is that? What's
Kubiak
what signal are you sending
like
to your team? You know what? You busted ass for the last 2 months. I'm not the coach of the 6-10 team. Half the players here aren't from the 6-10 team. I'm treating you like men. I'm giving you a bonus. Have fun.
Yeah, by the way,
what happened to that?
At the end of practice,
the hell? Offensive lineman, there's no way in God's green earth that Orlando Franklin would not take this day. I don't care if we're 0-16. Give me that day off.
By the way, some of Orlando's logic is flawed too. This isn't the team. This isn't the 6-10 team.
Drastically different.
Right. You're forming your new legacy, whatever that happens to be.
Did Vance do this?
No.
How'd that work out?
Let's go to Matt. Matt, how'd you feel about field day?
I was in the military for 6 years, and I think it was great. Some of the best memories outside of missions we ran were squad competitions we had. And it was, you know, when you infuse your guys with a competitive atmosphere, but it's fun like that, you know, those are some of the best memories I had with my guys. And I think it's great, man. Build camaraderie, and I don't see the harm in it at all. We got the extra week with the Hall of Fame game, which is stupid, and I think it's great.
All right. Appreciate it, man.
I agree, because these guys aren't going to remember what happened last week at OTAs. They're going to think about the home run derby contest or the pitching. I think there was a little golfing contest.
You realize, as great as football players and athletes, they all are. They all are. They're not great at all sporting activities, so it's freaking funny to see Bradley Chubb not be able to hit a baseball, or to see, you know, I don't know, Dalton Risner trying to hit a golf ball. You know, it's funny. I'm sure there's plenty of guys.
There's no other opportunity for the entire team. Now, there'll be groups of the team that can go out and go out together for the most part throughout the season, off season, whatever. But there's never a time to get the 90 guys together to have fun.
Yeah,
there's no other opportunity for it.
Yeah, and they were running extra wind sprints at the end of yesterday's practice, by the way.
And they did run both the practices, Tuesday, Wednesday practice, went long.
And I do hope you do realize here on this show, on the very first OTA, I came in here and I said, whoa, felt like I was in, you remember that?
Yeah.
I felt like this is the middle of training camp. I mean, I've been going to NFL practices since 1994. So when I say it felt unusual right away in OTAs, I wasn't. Remember, they used to do the rookie stuff And because Heuermann got hurt on the first day, they changed everything. They made it like a rookie orientation. Fangio got rid of that. They were out there having regular fast football practices. They wore game jerseys. They don't have practice jerseys anymore, Tom. No practice jerseys.
No, this is what Vic, this is one of the big changes that Nikki was talking about.
Yeah. They wear game, slick game jerseys. It's brilliant. All right, let's hear Zach. And this is Zach Bye breaking it down.
I don't believe that this will ultimately affect a win or a loss in September or October. So I don't want to frame this as it's going to take the Broncos from 10-6 to 9-7. I don't think that's going to be the case. But you can't tell me that your mantra and your theme of this whole movement here is death by inches and tell me that this isn't an inch. It feels like six of them.
Yeah.
You have less time to practice than ever before in the history of the sport. Is mandatory minicamp 4 weeks long? No. Is it 3 weeks long? No. Is it 2 weeks long? No. Is it 1 week long? No. Is it 4 days long? No. It's 3 days. And to just punt on 33% of those opportunities to get better, I don't get.
Holy cow.
Wow, he got fired up.
The two of them together? That must have been a fun show to listen to this afternoon.
I just want
to
point out that the Bears in 2017 were 5-11, and I think Nagy became the coach. And this is where Vic brought this from, was Chicago. Mm-hmm. That's what Nikki told us.
Right.
And then they went 12-4. So they missed a practice in Chicago to have a field day, and it didn't matter. I mean, it. I don't think that's why they're 12-4 last year.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's a day, and they had fun with each other.
I agree.
The fat guys maybe had just as good a chance to win an event as the athletes.
Let's go to Nick. Nick, you're on the fan. Yes, Nick.
Hey, what's up, guys? I just want to agree with you guys totally. Like, I think the camaraderie and the just the fun with everyone is much more than the day of practice. And like you said, so they didn't punt. Like Zach says, they didn't punt. They went to meetings. I studied the playbook. I don't understand what. I listened to those guys earlier on my lunch break, and they were blowing my mind. I'm like, are you kidding me? Who doesn't like fun?
Apparently,
Zach and Orlando Franklin.
Yeah, very serious
anti-fun guys.
Apparently, Nick Ferguson, no fun for Nick. Right, Nick? Nick?
If we're talking about a veteran team that's coming off of a productive season, it makes sense. But thinking about things in reality as in present day, I mean, you have a three-year playoff drought.
Right. Oh, no. And what happened the season before that?
Your vice president of operations is ranked 16th.
Well, according
is not even on the list of fantasy quarterbacks.
Oh, my gosh. You're right. They should have practiced today.
There's 32 teams and only 30 quarterbacks listed.
John was poking him a little bit.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
That was funny.
Oh, my gosh. So the current 90 guys need to pay the penalty for the past 3 years of random. How many guys are on the roster from that 2016 team, the original team that missed the playoffs that everybody seems to refer back to this 3 years of
Chris Harris?
Do they have
Ron
to
Miller,
pay
Derek Wolfe?
Do they have to pay? Why are they? Why should they get penalized? Why should Vic Fangio get penalized for what Vance Joseph did to this team? Let him run it his own way.
Right. We are different.
Should Joe Flacco have the stank of those last 3 years? Is that on him?
No. Or our own team. The no-fly zone, get rid of that nickname. I hope nobody would be stupid enough to refer to anything like that. They had their time. It was great. It was awesome. It was awesome to be around. And then there were three things that really stand out to me, Tommy. You let Wade Phillips go. You hired Vance Joseph, horrible. And you drafted Paxton Lynch. And these were three epic mistakes.
Right.
That really set things
back. So Vic Fangio should not have field day because of Paxton Lynch and the bust of a
If anything, you should have field day because of it, because you should find out what hasn't happened around here.
And just do the opposite. If everything they'd been doing was wrong, wouldn't the opposite be right?
Yeah, because when, like, for example, you don't know what you're doing with Vance Joseph, who did not know what he was doing, the inclination when you don't know what you're doing is you press too hard. And I know people used to be driven nuts because they would hear Vic talk or VJ talk about what a great practice they had on Wednesday. We had a great practice. You haven't heard anything like that from Vic Fangio. He's been very tempered in almost all of his comments. He hasn't been too negative. He hasn't been overly positive. He's been, this is today, here we go. I'll never forget the most ridiculous thing. I'll never forget this day. This day a couple years ago when it was the decision between Trevor Siemian and Paxton Lynch. They had a full practice. And I asked VJ, okay, well, percentage-wise, you know, where are you in terms of making a decision on the quarterback? And he goes, oh, man, we're just like 2, 3%. And I thought, are you insane? Like, I asked the question because I thought, Tommy, no joke, I really did think this was the opportunity he was going to say. We've been at this for 5 months. It's been a great battle. And Paxton Trevor, Lynch, whatever.
Whoever they picked.
Right. It should have been Paxton at that point. It was a train wreck. You got to go with the young guy. Whatever. I thought it was a perfect opportunity for VJ to say, Trevor Siemian will be our starting quarterback going into training camp. And he comes out, Tommy, and he goes, we're only like 3 or 4%, whatever, in terms of that decision. And that's when I knew. You don't know what you're doing. And we came back to the radio station. We laughed. I'll never forget it. On this day a couple years ago, we came back and laughed. And I remember talking to our boss, Armin, at the time, and I said, they're giving us this for training camp. They're giving us the decision. They are just handing it to us as a sports talk radio station. They had all this time to figure it out and make a decision. They haven't done it yet. I can't tell you how, first of all, we laughed around here because we knew it was going to be great for us. But at the same time, while knowing it was great for us, we also knew it was going to be terrible for the team. And it was. Look at today. Who's the quarterback, Tommy?
Joe Flacco.
Who's the head coach?
Vic Fangio.
Does he know what he's doing?
Yes.
Who's the starting wide receivers?
Well, Emmanuel, if he's healthy.
If he's healthy. But we know what we got there.
Yeah.
Tight end's better.
Pretty significantly.
Offensive line at right tackle, especially better.
Significantly.
Got Chris Harris.
Yep.
Believe it or not, the only thing that's just like, it's Kane Jarrello, because we just don't know, because he's never been an offensive coordinator before, so we really just don't quite know. But aside from that, this is the most stable this team has been since Peyton Manning was here. And to me, I take that as a win. We come back, our high five.
The field day is a win. A field day is a win.
Total win.
We talking about
cannot believe
this.
Nick Ferguson, you know, Zach can say what he wants, but you know how ridiculous OTAs and minicamp are as a player. Orlando, man, be better. Be better than that.
High five at 5:30 coming up next.